all gene-based vaccines, independent of manufacturers, produce the same result in the vaccinees. He has looked at 15. In the last 4 days, the number has been increased to 17 individuals who died after vaccination. These were people who died at home, at work, in the car, doing their sports, etc., etc., etc. There's no question now anymore about what is going on. And the answer is in the organs of these people. In 90%, he found clear evidence for autoimmune self-attack by killer lymphocytes on the tissues.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Thursday, April 18th, 2024. I have to remember that clip starts with a sped up opening, Daily Wrap-Up opening clip there. I always remember that and I forget to mark that down. It's like a sped up half a step on that opening clip. But the clip there from Dr. Bhakti is so wildly important. That was 2020 when he said that. I still find that shocking that he can be so, I mean, really, it's not actually that shocking. It's shocking that other doctors didn't have the courage to make the obvious statement that, and I shouldn't say obvious, but in the context of being in their field, to him, it was obvious, right? Not to the average person necessarily before all this, but the idea that he just said what he thought was right. That is the odd thing in the context of our medical field today. And not that everybody or every doctor, but it's a coordinated engineered reality, I think. And that is an example of somebody with integrity, somebody who has stood against all of the pushback, all of the attacks on his career, and has been proven to be right. And even still not regarded as such from the same people that ignored all the information that he was putting out in the beginning. So I'm glad to be pointing out something I think is very relevant again in this conversation. And this is, on a couple of other interviews I had recently, including today, I thought it was interesting to point out that a lot of what's been happening in the coverage around, there are two points to make, around the medical freedom COVID-19 conversation. On one side of it, it's like we are unable to sort of, in some cases, decouple the larger conversations from specifically COVID-19. And I get why that is. It was such a large topic. And as I've said many times, you get these, like with Israel and Gaza right now, these conversations that are these topics that just kind of shake people free from the paradigm. And a lot of people sort of begin their journey from one of those moments forward. And then they don't recognize that there's a whole body of history and multifaceted agendas. You know, this is just one part of a bigger story and they fail to look at the larger thing. And so everything going forward is somehow connected back to COVID-19, which there's a lot of that, but a lot further back. And also things that have now stemmed off into their own conversations that may not even come back to the COVID-19 conversation. And that's why I wanted to talk about this in particular around the mod RNA, something that I think T-Lab in general was way ahead of this story and plenty of others that I look to myself that were even further ahead in that regard that we highlighted at the time in regard to N1 methyl pseudouridine modified RNA, which is in fact what these injections have. All the main primary Pfizer Moderna injections are not RNA, not mRNA, neither, both of which are organic in many cases. Arguably what they wanted people to think were happening. This is modified RNA. So one more example of a genetically modified concept from the same people that have historically continued to use genetically modified concepts that continue to fail or harm people or both. Shocking. So we're going to talk today about a study that came out on the 5th of April this year that shows that mod RNA, specifically, again, in this case, well, really, to be specific in the sense of what we're highlighting here, but in a broad sense within that topic, that modified RNAs themselves are dangerous. And I'm going to go into how ridiculous, how ludicrous this is that it's, you know, I've made this point so many times throughout all this. You couldn't have tried. It's as if you picked every single aspect of this and was like, what could make this more dangerous? Let's pick that instead of the other things that we know at least are less dangerous. And then on top of all of that, somehow synergistically working to make it even more dangerous when they're all combined. That sounds like a weapon to me. I'm not going to say that we can prove that it was necessarily what that was or designed that way. All these things are valid points to make and considerations, but how crazy it is, at the very least, when we're talking about criminality around the COVID-19 shots or just any idea around our medical system today, that you could accidentally pick every one of the worst things that are making these problems happen. And yet to this very day, despite peer-reviewed science, you know, the same trust the science crowd refusing to acknowledge the things that have broadly, and I mean within the science, the body of evidence, the majority now showing heart problems, blood clots. I mean, everything. And this gets into the point about every angle of this shot. The mRNA itself showing to be very clearly problematic. The spike protein, very clearly, undeniably dangerous. Now we're getting to the idea of even the modification of the mRNA, which, by the way, was done in order to make sure that the thing got to where it needed to go and lasted as long as it needed to last. And by the way, which is the reason dead bodies are found overwhelmed with mRNA and spike protein, because they really last. And this is the whole point we made about the lipid nanoparticles in the last discussion from SARS and even before, where what was the problem? Well, they couldn't make it. It couldn't get to the point without increasing the level. And this is before the modified concept that we're talking about today in particular, that they had to increase the lipid nanoparticle concentration to get it to get to where it needed to go. But when they did that, it got too toxic. And that was a very clear dynamic. They just had, that's why it didn't go any further. And yet today, that was another discussion we had, or rather today at the beginning of the COVID-19 illusion conversation, that how did they solve that problem? Well, they had increased the lipid nanoparticle concentration. Simple. Except they never solved the problem that was why it didn't work the last time. And we're watching that play out today. It's the same exact point we're going to make with the modified RNA, that we're going to look back through the studies that go back, you know, a decade, even further. I mean, I think the oldest one was, well, we'll get to it. I don't want to miss that now, but years before this started, and that they were going, hey, it looks like these modified RNA concepts could be dangerous and cause cancers, can cause thrombosis, can cause all sorts of things, more than one, in fact. And it got ignored or was chosen for that reason. And now today, a study after it is looking back and going, yep, it still causes cancer, except they're not saying still. It's a new study going, it looks like we found out it causes cancer. But what's interesting is you can show the studies from before that are making the same points. I find it impossible to believe that the Faucis and the rest of the world that were involved with this didn't know those existed. Or you could argue that they made up some reason to justify why it might not happen this time, or you can sure as hell try to give them the benefit of the doubt. And you know what? Maybe you're right. I'm not going to do that. I think time has shown more than enough, I mean, far outside the medical conversation, that these people do not deserve your benefit of the doubt. Over and over, this can gets kicked down the road from historical examples, even just pertaining to vaccines and injections and how they've lied and covered things up, or Vioxx and myocarditis and the fact that we lie about it and we sell it even harder and we use the studies themselves to hide the fact that that's there, knowing all of this. And nobody ever goes to jail for this stuff. This is your big pharma conversation. People see it today. So let's bring this back to the focus of just modified RNA, N1 methyl pseudouridine modified RNA, and the mRNA platform conversation, and just reiterating with new information how incredibly dangerous. And again, I find it impossible that they don't know how dangerous these clearly are with the evidence right in front of us. So let's get to a couple of opening points that I wanted to highlight in the same conversation. Actually, Taylor has been putting out some important clips of the larger Arne Burkhardt discussion, which, I mean, I want to grab that for you, seeing as how it's definitely relevant to the conversation in general. I mean, all of this stuff is relevant to the idea of how dangerous these are. But if you haven't seen this interview, this might as well be, I mean, we put more time, more effort, more resources, money in general into this interview than anything we've ever done in T-Lab, ever. And this was an entire sole T-Lab production with Taylor Hudak as the interviewer. And the important part of this is that it's foundational. I mean, what he's talking about is the in-depth science around why, not the hypothesis, but the provable mechanisms for why these things cause, in this case, the one we just put out on our Substack, specifically why they cause menstrual irregularities, post-COVID injection, a pathological explanation. You're going to get very few of those out there today. mostly because the people that were in these positions are terrified to be attacked. Arne Burkhardt was brave enough to come out and put this out there, even kind of coming out of retirement. And then, of course, he mysteriously died. And we may talk about that in the future. It's not really my place to discuss the things that are being told to me. And we'll get into that in the near future, most likely. But there's a lot of the real original reason that we kind of discussed why that stuff, this is important. And the hypothetical, which is what it still is around what might have happened, wasn't important. It wasn't in that moment. It felt like it would distract from his amazing and important work around COVID-19 and the injections that we can prove, just so that's clear. But either way, it's still a hypothetical conversation about what might have happened. Frankly, I find it to be pretty suspicious. But in any case, make sure you check this workout. We've also been posting a lot of other stuff on the Substack lately in regard to other articles, other information. And I've got a few more coming out planned, like I did with the cannabis deception conversation. We also had some great interviews recently coming out. I've interviewed Freddie Pontone in regard to Iran and Israel, breaking down Iran's response to Israel and the impending attack, Israeli attack. We're still watching for how that will play out, but it's obvious how this went. Watch the interview if you want more. I don't want to get too deep into it. He's got some really important information about what happened, what was hit, munitions that were used. He's a great journalist. We also talked with Whitney Webb yesterday, manufacturing bipartisan consent for biometric surveillance, getting into the idea about how the two-party illusion, as always, is being weaponized and used against, in this case, in particular. We talk about a lot of stuff in this interview, but in particular, the smart wall conversation and how suddenly Republicans are being manipulated into thinking that this is for, you know, what Trump wants and for the right side and Republican talking points, even though it's the same stuff being pushed from a different angle under COVID-19, biometrics and everything else and digital IDs. And some people are falling for it because that's what the two-party illusion does. Now, one other thing I wanted to highlight. It's the only thing I'm going to say today in regard to the over, I mean, oh, there may be then a tangential point that pops to mind around Israel, but I just had that. This popped up right before I went live, and I just am so blown away with how, I mean, it in a way is a positive that people are finally seeing how just intellectually and just flat out dishonest, I was going to say intellectually dishonest, and just flat out dishonest the U.S. government is, and all of our politicians are, you Israeli government. I mean, it's just sickeningly obvious how then what they stand for, what they claim they stand for, is what they believe you want, in no way represents what they truly are. Today, even though this is after recently trying to secretly, even though it came out, pressure Palestine to not want their own membership in the United Nations, full membership. And they said no, obviously. Not Hamas, by the way. This is another point that all these absurdity, like Fetterman and plenty of other people just coming right out, taking the mask right off and just straight up conflating anything Palestine with all Hamas. You're letting Hamas into the UN? Like, it's just gross. They're telling you and showing you that they've always seen them all as Hamas, all as terrorists, or that they don't care because they're bad people. Okay. The bottom line is this was Palestinian representatives, not Hamas, coming in to tell you what's going on from a UN perspective. Don't trust them like you don't trust anybody. Consider what they have to say. The US steps up, as always, and shows you what democracy really looks like, you know, in the true sense. Everybody else is on a certain page, and they go, no, veto. Palestinian request for full United Nations membership vetoed by the United States. Because democracy is when one powerful entity can say no to anything and nobody else has a say, right? It's just stupid. And we all need to recognize how embarrassing this is. Whether or not you agree with that, by the way. U.S. stops U.N. from recognizing a Palestinian state, meaning it would have happened if the U.S. had not vetoed it in sole for the interest of Israel at the expense of literally everybody else as usual. Now, I also want to point something out for those that are continuing to support us on the Give, Send, Go and elsewhere. I'm not going to get into this now because I'm still fleshing this out, but I'm very worried about this right now because I've gotten about 7 emails from people who are telling me that their recurring donations in particular has been canceled. Now, I don't know if that's Give, Send, Go. I don't know if that's the bank they're working with. Give, Send, Go has been absolutely amazing with me the whole time I've ever used them. Immediately responding, always there, very quick and kind. And so at this point, they were right back to me going, we're sorry, we're looking into this, and they responding. And I don't know, guys, I'm not going to say it couldn't be them, but I don't want to think that. I don't want to assume. But what I'm telling you is that it's provable right now, even from Give, Send, Go's side, that there's something going on. That they're telling me they don't understand why multiple people's recurring donations have been canceled because it's not even showing up on their side as a problem. And they're looking into it right now. I frankly kind of think that banks are starting to do this. I just think this is another sign of where we're going. And it's another example of why we need your support. Now, at this point, I may be receiving caution going to the Give, Send, Go. I don't know what's going on. That's why I'm going to include the direct donation page on our website, as well as the Bitcoin donation we have on there as well, and just mailing things in if you want. Just so incredibly frustrating, isn't it? That we just, and the other point was, this is not even remotely what, there's more recurring donations from last month up to the 18th of last month that should be there, and they're not showing up. You know, you can't win at this point. I mean, we're going to keep going either way. It's, you know, this is what it looks like to do everything, you know, it's not about right or wrong, but just to go through the process and have to take three steps back before you could take one step forward over and over and over, or rather just two steps forward, one step back, because there's a slanted game in existence here. So I just wanted you guys to see that. Recognize, I mean, if you want to continue to support us through this platform, I hope you will. And when I find something else out that demonstrates there's something more going on here, I'll let you know. But this is the world we live in right now. We're trying to change that. So I frankly think it's the banks. We're going to get back to you on that, but very alarming, isn't it? Okay, so let's start with this important conversation. Another peer-reviewed study coming from the International Journal of Biologic Macromolecules, posted here on Science Direct. And this is just an important general conversation showing you how far, and this, it's April 5th, 2024, how far this conversation has gone. Now, ask yourself, why, if at this point in time, this kind of science is coming out, that's, it's the true depth of it is, as you, most scientific studies is up in the air, going where we need to flesh this out more and find out the true depth. But the point in this is, it's not up for debate if it's happening. It's how much, how bad. Okay, so the information in here goes back even before the COVID shots. So we need to ask ourselves, how does that make sense? How are they not raising the, sounding the alarm and saying, whoa, everybody, hold on. You know, of course, assume this is one thing in a pile of 40,000 things we've seen around myocarditis and blood clots. But let's just pretend like those don't exist to make this conversation more clear. I'm just laughing internally about how dumb it is to even say, like, this is just one thing on top of a gigantic pile. But this one thing, peer-reviewed science coming out showing that this can cause cancer, that should be a huge deal. They should be going, whoa, time out, at least know that this is there, or even possibly there, right? That's what these supposed safety groups are supposed to be doing. But then on top of that, this has major implications for the process, not just the shot itself, but the process, the modified. Now, this one is specifically the N1 methyl pseudouridine, the mod RNA in the COVID shots currently. But this also gets into, and another study will show you, the generalized concept of just modified RNAs used in injections and how that is clearly showing to be dangerous. So why are they still not only promoting the platform direction, driving it, building into it in an aggressive way? That you have to ask this question. Either they're willfully ignorant of the things that show that what they're doing is a problem, so they just don't want to look at it because they don't care about safety. It's all about their agenda, or they don't even know about it, which is almost more alarming. So let's go into this study first. I have this on the Wayback Machine just in case something happens. Here's one and here's the other. So this is review N1 methyl pseudouridine, or this M1, and this is the symbol for pseudouridine. And we'll highlight this going forward. And this is why it makes things, some of these, hypothetically, if you're searching for a study that only references it in this way, it's difficult to search for these things. Like, there's a lot of weird ways some of these things can be hidden. But it simply says N1 methyl pseudouridine, friend or foe of cancer. Interesting way to frame that too, right? Because if it's a friend of cancer, is that a positive thing? Right? It's a weird way. Overall, you're going to see how clearly this is. Now, as always, I laugh about how every one of these studies, because they know if they don't put this there first, somehow they're going to get attacked and suppressed and maybe lose their job. You know, just how we've seen throughout all of the COVID illusion. But it says, due to the emergency created by SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, the rapid implementation of new vaccine technology was necessary. Like, this opening statement that, by the way, literally everything else seems to come, like, it goes on to tell you how dangerous these are, but that statement is as if we go, yes, but despite all of the very clear, overwhelming damages and cancers and everything else that's happened, it's still super necessary because that's what we're told to say. I just think it's ridiculous. Why do you even need to state that? The study is not about the timeframe of COVID-19 and whether the platform was necessary. It's obvious, right? Because if they don't say that, they're going to get called conspiracy theorists. And they will either way. I just hope we really recognize that ridiculous concept. You don't need to cite this general background to cite or to highlight this very general concept of N1-methyl pseudouridine, whether or not it's in a COVID injection, right? I hope that's clear. Now, it starts, I argue, the potential of these vaccines in preventing admission to hospitals and serious illness in people with comorbidities has recently been called into question due to the vaccine's rapidly waning immunity. Hardly recent, by the way, but it's becoming more aware in the minds of average people that have never heard this, right? The idea that the rapid waning of this, even though it's got the N1-methylpseudouridine, which is supposed to make it last even longer, it is still, and this is the reality of the fact that these have never stopped infection, nor have they stopped transmission. That's a fact. Despite all the screaming and lying and everything else you've seen, it says mounting evidence indicates that these vaccines, like many others, do not generate sterilizing immunity, leaving people vulnerable to recurrent infections. Now, this is the point that Dr. Bakhti also made incessantly, rightly so. When you put an injection for a respiratory virus in the shoulder muscle, despite the fact that we can still prove, and as well, I think we show one point in here, that it very much does not stay in the shoulder muscle. If anyone is still arguing one of those kind of points, laugh at them. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but this is just going back to the beginning and reading off the talking points that CNN put out. It's obvious immediately that this does not stay in the shoulder muscle. Pfizer's own documentation, and it actually does point one of these out in here, shows you that the lipid nanoparticles and the mRNA were in the lymph nodes immediately. That was the early science, as well as the spleen and the reproductive organs. So how in the world is that supposed to argue in the shoulder? But they lied from day one on this, in addition to using the most dangerous thing. So make sure you understand what that shows you. But it was the other point that he was making. If you put it in the shoulder muscle, that you will not create sterilizing immunity, or specifically mucosal immunity. Even though Fauci himself has made the point about how that's central to stopping these things and knows that. So then why are we still putting flu shots in your shoulder muscle? Why are we still any of this? It doesn't make sense. And that's why Fauci, as I should have grabbed earlier, came out with his Cell.com article. I believe it was this one. Now, maybe not. I'll have to find it after the fact. Well, the point was, there it is. Thank you. I'm glad we found that. So this is written by Fauci himself. And you have to understand that Fauci was well aware of the same points that Dr. Bakhti was making. So why did it take him all the way until January 11, 2023 to come out and say that these things don't work? To come out and say that we need to reimagine these, or that we need to reevaluate whatever he says here at the bottom. He's saying challenges to developing next generation respiratory vaccines are many and complex. We must better understand why multiple sequential mucosal infections with the same circulating respiratory viruses spread out over decades of life fail to elicit natural protective immunity, especially with viruses that lack significant and the past unsuccessful attempts to elicit solid protection against mucosal respiratory viruses and to control the deadly outbreaks and pandemics they cause has been a scientific and public health failure. How do we reconcile that with what they're still doing? It's shockingly stupid to me. The point is, same answer. You can't create mucosal immunity with the shot in the muscle in the shoulder, but they still do it. And all of this comes back to that same point, right? That they know it's not a surprise that it doesn't cause this. You already knew this. So why is the entire establishment lying? Are they all that bad at this? It says, additionally, it has been discovered that the mRNA vaccines inhibit essential immunological pathways, thus impairing early interferon signaling. Now, there's more to this, and we'll go through it. But the ultimate reality is this, is that what it's doing, everything you've heard about this is already being backed up by most of these discussions about whether it is causing autoimmunity, immune suppression, DNA can what's the word they use in the other article? You know, the idea of trans scribing and basically having over integrating your DNA. Despite all of the screaming about how that's fake news, a conspiracy, it's overwhelmingly obvious that it came out that there was a problem here. And this new study we'll get into, I think it's the next one, makes it very clear. And this is even actually, I might take it, might have been the older one actually. I don't want to jump up and we'll keep reading, but the point is that you have. There's research into specifically modified RNAs and how they do exactly that. So it's just interesting how many lies have been spun. And I think a lot of people out there are just, they've been trained their whole lives to think that smart people listen to certain people, that smart people don't question the CDC, that intelligent people know what they're supposed to know. Now, that doesn't mean they're not intelligent people, book smart, but they've been programmed to ignore very obvious things. This is why people ignore the FDA dynamic and how many lies they have spun. It's wild. But it has been discovered that mRNA vaccines inhibit essential immunological pathways, thus impairing early interferon signaling. Evidence is provided that adding 100% of N1-methylpseudouridine to an mRNA vaccine in a melanoma modeling model simulated cancer growth and metastasis. So very clearly telling you when they modeled this in regard to melanoma, well, it caused cancer. It says while non-modified mRNA vaccines induced opposite results. Now, it's no way that I'm suggesting that that's the direction. I quite frankly think this is just one part of this that is dangerous. But either way, it's interesting that they chose the one that causes cancer, if you look at it that way. You could argue that that was because it made this last longer and they didn't care about the byproduct. But either way, the same point I want rattling in your head is, how is it possible that they could have accidentally chose all of the things that made this as dangerous as it is? In individual senses, in individual cases, combining to a synergistically dangerous concept that unlike we've ever seen, at least in the concept of medical treatments, in my opinion. But it says, based on this, then it goes on to say, the opposite results, thus suggesting that COVID-19 mRNA vaccines could aid cancer development. Not a positive thing, aid the development of cancer, increase it. It says, based on this compelling evidence, and at that point, meaning that because of the N1-methylpseudouridine modified RNA, but not the natural, that it is causing cancer. Pretty damn clear. And meanwhile, everyone's screaming in the corporate media conversation about why turbo cancer conversations are fake news, just like every other thing that turns out to be real after they lie about it. Not that everything they lie about is ultimately real, but that's what usually happens with these conversations we can prove. They lie until eventually they just recognize they need to let something out. They give you a fraction of the truth on Tucker Carlson. It all goes away, right? But it says, based on this compelling evidence, we suggest that future clinical trials for cancers or infectious diseases should not use mRNA vaccines with, and this is the thing I think I'm worried about, 100% M1 modification. Now, here it's M1 pseudouridine is the symbol, but that stands for N1 methyl pseudouridine. I think I've mixed that up in the past and said M1, but it's saying that with 100% N1 methyl pseudouridine modification, but rather ones with the lower percentage. So here's my issue with that is that this very well could be setting up the argument to be like, this is why it failed. Here's how we solve that problem. And they've already played this game more than once. Not to say that the scientists are doing that intentionally. Maybe not. Maybe so. I don't know. But I don't like the idea of pretending like this would be the only one thing and allowing that to go forward. Now, that's just the main abstract of this. Let's go into this deeper. Let's talk. First of all, by the way, I just thought this was ridiculous that I just searching generally N1 methyl pseudouridine with the symbol and cancer. Now, even Brave all have these like new AI generated responses, which just creep me out. But here's what their AI generated response said. N1 methyl pseudouridine is a modified nucleoside found in synthetic messenger RNA, mRNA. It has been shown to enhance translation capacity and protein expression, right? That's why they use it. It lasts longer, it makes more, right? And so on. But in some studies, the addition of N1 methyl pseudouridine to mRNA vaccines has been linked to increased cancer growth and metastasis in melanoma models. This is right there. You know, no big deal though. You say it, Fox and CNN would probably call you a conspiracy theorist. Well, let's go back a little further. This one is from 2021. Glad that I took the screenshots because the highlighting is gone. 2021. So this is the one I was referencing. So it is an older one, which almost makes it more important. The idea of how they knew this, right? Before, I mean, and really even before 2020, right? But the idea that this was an early thing that was made aware and it was ignored by people that know better. The critical contribution of pseudouridine to mRNA COVID-19 vaccines. Now, there's a couple in here we're going to read into, and this one is the kind of overall risks of the mRNA-based therapy. So it's bigger than just the one thing. But this is talking about some general concepts. First, in case you just needed to see this, if you didn't know this and you're new to the show and so on, because we'll always I mean, there's a lot of things that I may point back to that I don't bring up the source material for in the moment, but everything we say, we've cited with source material that we can prove, unless I'm clear saying this is my opinion that we don't know. And I'm 19. I mean, it's very rare that I'll forget to say that, but certainly possible, I guess. But that's in saying that this is a provable reality, and this is directly in this peer-reviewed study. And it says two novel vaccine platforms based on mRNA technology, which is actually mod RNA technology, that they play that fast and loose, and it's not the same. It's just not. It says were developed in 2020 by Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna Therapeutics. And it says, and by the way, that's what Moderna actually stands for. It's mod RNA. That's the whole point of it. And that's why they were, I mean, how in the world did they know this would be, even though it clearly did fail in actuality, Moderna was a failing company before this worked, you know, in quotes, worked. So think about that. That's with Robert Langer being the co-founder of Moderna, connected with the origin of all of these horrifying technological things we're talking about, including the smart dust and virus-sized transistors and surveillance and blah, blah, blah. But it says, and we're the first ones presenting efficacies higher than 90%, which we now know were lies, right? But it says both consisted of, shockingly, not really, N1-methylpseudouridine modified mRNA encoding the SARS-CoV-19 spike protein. So you have a dangerous N1-methylpseudouridine cancer-causing problem. And mRNA itself, by the way, has shown studies that have damaging effects, you know, that they can have damaging effects on the body. And then you make it produce a dangerous spike protein. This thing sounds like a weapon to me, if you want to be very honest about that. And it says we're delivered with a lipid nanoparticle formulation, which in and of itself has shown to be problematic, not for human consumption in some cases. The point is clear that all of that together is exponentially more dangerous. But all I'm showing you there is to recognize that, yes, it does have the modified RNA. That's what it's clear. And that all of this together was the original concept, at least what we're told. And it says the success of the lipid nanoparticles was quickly hailed by many as the unsung hero of the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines. And that's the point again. How is that possible? How can it fail from the past example of raising the concentration, but doing that caused to be too toxic? And that I've showed it on the show. It's easy to look up. And then they go, hey, we fixed it. Raise the lipid nanoparticle. It solves the problem. Well, how is it any different than before? I have yet to hear, and maybe I'm missing something, but I haven't heard anybody give a valid answer to that. Many of these things like that are why they used little Q-tips to go to the back of your blood-brain barrier to test for something they could have swabbed in your cheek, which we all now know. They knew then too. Why? There's a lot more going on around this that people just don't want to probe into because it's uncomfortable. But the idea clearly is the lipid nanoparticle part of this was an important overlap. Remember, Charles Lieber, the idea of the virus-sized transistor and the whole aspect, which, by the way, dovetails with the brain-machine interface and Elon Musk and all the rest of it right into the smart dust conversation, but that was something he highlighted in his Harvard paper. That the lipid fatty layer over these allowed this to work its way into the cell or into the virus or whatever we're talking about. Now, it's hard not to see how all of this ties back together. But going forward, it says mRNA encoding the spike protein, lipid nanoparticles ultimately carry their cargo to the lymph nodes and are internalized by dendritic cells. Now, this is the point. This is 2021. Peer-reviewed study. And even going, yeah, it's a critical contribution. So it's a positive light on these things. And at this time, even to this very moment, there are people that still pretend it stays in your shoulder muscle. We know for sure at 2021, that was the lockstep talking point. But here it is, casually mentioned, right in these studies, going, no, it goes to lymph nodes. We know that. But it also went everywhere else in your body. We now know that, too. And people like me and others that were talking about this, you know, even at the time, and still to this day, I argue, Children's Health Defense or Dell Bigtree or plenty of others were screaming and waving their hands about this. Yet it's still fake news, apparently. Now, it says, aside from the delivery problem discussed above, therapeutic mRNA had at least two additional big challenges. The in vitro transcribed mRNA would be prone to nucleus degradation when injected into animals. And two, the in vitro transcribed mRNA would also lead to innate immunogenicity, similar to what would happen when infected by a pathogen. Then it says the answer to these problems came from a well-known RNA modification, pseudouridine, which can be used to replace uridine in the in vitro transcribed mRNA. It is demonstrated that the pseudouridine can enhance RNA stability, and in the meantime, decrease anti-RNA immune response. Well, we just showed you the study, making sure the idea of this is, and we're going to get into it more depth of the next one, cancer causing, but this is the solution. And the idea is that without it, and we'll get into it more in the next one as well, that this there's other dynamics that are being caused, and you can see the difference between them and how this was a choice. Now, I just find it hard to believe that this could be an accident. It says also because, and this is the interesting part, the pseudouridylation, which is discussing both specifically N1-methylpseudouridine as well as other aspects of the different modifications. It says because the pseudouridylation appears to be irreversible, pseudouridine is usually excreted from the body. Hold on. That's important, guys. It says, thus, this RNA modification has drawn attention as a potential biomarker for Alzheimer's disease and certain types of cancer. 2021, they're telling you that the RNA modification has already been addressed and looked at for being a precursor to Alzheimer's and cancers, which we've already seen the prions disease conversation, the cancers conversation. We'll make sure you see the materials we have. You could read through it all for yourself. But the first sentence, because this is irreversible, it's excreted from the body. How about if you've had five of these shots? Do you recognize why that's so important? The shedding conversation? So what are we talking about? Okay, if we're talking about the pseudouridine, what's that a part of? The N1-methyl pseudouridine modified RNA. So now you're talking about modified RNA, which, by the way, has the instructions to make a spike protein. They're telling you it's excreted from the body. Now, I don't know the dynamics of how long that lasts or what they've done to it outside of the body, but I'll tell you right now, we've already proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, based on Dr. Luigi Warren, who is the leading expert, I argue, on this topic, or the fact that we've already shown the Salk Institute and others, the idea that the spike protein sheds. That's very clear. And then on top of that, the spike protein, and I'll just bring this up and we don't have to rehash this whole conversation, but the idea being that the Salk Institute has made this very clear, and there's a study from, I think, Nature is right here, Circulation Research, peer-reviewed, which is that the spike protein, they proved the spike protein alone was enough to cause disease, right? And the idea that the, hold on. There it is. See if I got this still. Oh, this is just a search for him. Let's see. I wasn't going to grab it, but then this is important. It was, let's see if that pops up. There it is. Bingo. This is just a good article because Twitter deleted it, of course, just like always, but it shows the actual image. So this is Luigi Warren, who is, he's one of the creators of this conversation, of the actual tech. And what he's saying, Twitter deleted it, right? Censored him. And then once they realized how dumb that looked, because this guy knows more than anybody about this topic, they brought him back. But he said, I believe the quote shedding idea is that the vaccinated shed spike protein. That's very clear. He did not deny that for one second. But he said, it's certainly true that people vaccinated with mRNA vaccines do shed spike protein. Again, but in minuscule amounts that almost certainly can cause disease. That is at a time when he was under the impression that this was a one thing that stayed in your shoulder muscle. Now that we found out that it is, I'm not going to remember the name of the title of the study, but the study that Dr. McColl is a part of that shows the consistent production of spike protein and the fact that it goes all throughout your body. That changes the conversation, doesn't it? On top of that, the fact that if it can cause its own disease, that means that a spike protein can shed from you, can go into somebody else, that can cause them to get a disease, cause them to have symptoms, and then it can be spread again. I made this point so many times. This is scientifically backed. That doesn't mean that we know it's true. They could be wrong somehow. We could be missing something. But if we're going to pretend, trust the science and all that, the science points in a very clear direction. So bringing this back to the main point, if this momentary point of the conversation, we're talking about N1-methyl pseudouridine modified RNA that is irreversible and usually excreted from the body that then has the instructions to create a spike protein. So what does that mean? I just don't know how we don't see this as a possible example of everything we've been warning about in regard to any number of things, whether that's a smart dust thing or just specifically a self-spreading vaccine conversation, which we've worried about, which they've talked about, which they've had entire symposiums about in 2020 about whether that was our future.
Since the outbreak of COVID-19, the word virus has been dominating media headlines as well as our daily lives. Did you know that one approach that has been proposed to control virally transmitted diseases is by releasing a virally transmitted vaccine? Unlike traditional vaccines, infectious vaccines do not require any individual consent.
Yeah, no consent. No biggie. Here's a pregnant woman giving it to her unborn baby. Hey, or the child next to her, showing little viruses float around and go to the people. Like, that's promoted. Now, this obviously, this video is saying, do we really want that?
Infectious solutions are also being developed for food and agriculture and are currently making their way through the regulatory approval process.
Yep.
However, do we really want to intentionally disperse these modified viruses outside the lab?
No, we don't. It's too late, though. It's already happened, and we've shown you 14 different discussions about it. But the point was, this was done in 2020. This was in Europe. The Euroscience Open Forum. This was huge. Partners all over the world. Yet it's still fake news somehow. Just shows you how ridiculous this conversation is. We're not saying I can prove that it's happening, other than the obvious dynamic of showing you spreading spike proteins that can cause you, you know, the obvious overlaps. But my point is that it gets disregarded from the other side as like ludicrously stupid. You're so conspiracy theory. It's right there. So all I'm pointing out with this is it even the conversation of the danger, the damage, the what's causing harm completely dovetails with the idea that this was designed that way, maybe as a weapon, maybe as a test. I don't know, but that scares me. But I still want to stress whether or not, like, for instance, with the food conversation, one of the points put people push back on is, well, mRNA, what's the likelihood that it's going to end up, whether it's an injection? And look, I desperately don't want mRNA injections in anything, let alone particularly the food you may eat. But the argument that it will then end up in the body of the animal and then somehow be last until it gets fabricated, broke down, packaged, then cooked, then eaten, right? But maybe because it is N1-methylpseudouridine modified RNA that is irreversible and lasts throughout the body, maybe it does. Right? I just think that's the point we should let the end on until we have more evidence to see how it's. This is the problem, is that nobody's testing this stuff. Nobody's taking this out and finding out because it's fake news, right? It's alarming. So let me include these for you. Fauci's article before we get into a couple more things about cancer. And this is not going to be a very long show in the normal sense for T-Lab because I wanted to say it in the beginning. I'll maybe say it in the end, just about the next coming up so many days, I might not be able to work as much as usual. So I'm going to, and haven't been recently because of a lot of stuff going on, but I'll make a point in the end if I remember. Daily Skeptic, by the way, came out with this on the 11th. So good on them for being ahead of the, you know, the study came out the 5th. They're one of the only people that I can see out there that have been highlighting this, but I'm sure I missed somebody else, but good on them for highlighting it. They just simply put out a quick little post going, here's the study, make sure you know about it. I love that. You know, good for them. This is important information. And of course, you know, just like us and everybody else, they're like, it's a conspiracy theory website. And it's like, yeah, very common for conspiracy theorists to go, here's a peer-reviewed study that you should research. You know, it's just insulting. It's like the British Medical Journal becomes a medical blog the moment that they say the thing you don't like. Just such children out there today. Here's the Defender from the November of 2023. New report, young people dying of cancer at explosive rates. A UK government shows, but we're baffled by it though, right? We're baffled. We've given more people this experimental gene therapy shot that causes cancers than anything in around the world, but we're still baffled by why there's cancer happening or why there's myocardial heart problems, or we're baffled by it. It's painfully insulting. And this is why I think it's crazy that this is even still dragging its way along. How is this still happening? Unbelievable. Congratulations, Dan. The COVID booster cancer time bomb. This is also Daily Skeptic. I have previously reported on my concern about the rise in stable cancer relapses that I've witnessed with my melanoma clinic, right? The point here, and this is what he's writing, by the way, that wasn't me. I don't have a clinic. This is a Dr. Angus Dalgleish writing for the Daily Skeptic. The point is that not just the fact that it causes cancer, but this is something Dr. McCullough has pointed out, Dr. Peter McCullough, that it's and Dr. Ryan Cole as well, the idea that this is not just causing this, but people that have maybe just undetected problems, that it makes it go out of control, or people that just have cancer already, maybe in remission, it explodes. And pretty much every oncologist that I could talk to right now is going, I've never seen this much cancer. And yet we're just acting like it's not happening because people, you know, are probably worried they'll go to prison, I imagine. But here is an article or a study from 2019. RNA modifications regulating cell fate in cancer. Now, this is just an overlap. Now, you could argue that this necessarily apply in the exact same way, but I just found it interesting that there's already conversations about this in regard to the kind of precursor. It says altered RNA modification, which is clearly what we're talking about. Altered RNA modification patterns are widely linked to developmental diseases. Now, you could argue that means some sort of natural occurrence of altered RNA, but I find the word modification hard to see as a natural thing. So it simply says that recently the dysregulation of RNA modification pathways also emerged as a contributor to cancer. Now, even if you argue this is discussing something natural, my point is that this is what we're discussing being done, not in a natural way. The modification of these pathways of the body, of the way that your body engages with these things, are the very things they're putting in your body. RNA modifications, because remember, the whole point is about training your body to produce the thing that they need your body to produce. Which, by the way, I haven't played that clip in a long time since we haven't been talking about this. But remember, I've been playing this since 2020. Why? Because this is a Pfizer scientist and this is Forbes speaking about what they're so excited about, which is literally where we are, even though this was called fake news when this was happening in 2020 and 2021.
Wall Street and biotechnology companies have been very excited about this idea. And what essentially it is trying to hack the cells in the body in order to make them into drug factories.
We're gonna make your body produce the drugs, right? So then we're making money for nothing. We'll just prime you with a new thing, right? We'll just give you the new instructions. Here's some mRNA. That's wild, man. And the point is that that's what we said was going to happen. And they were, you're a fake news conspiracy theorist. Why would they say that? Maybe some of them didn't know, but clearly there was an element of this that we saw. I mean, we're not psychic. Here we are, right? It's because we care, because we look, because we do our due diligence. And sometimes people are wrong. Sometimes we make mistakes. But at the end of the day, you can't look back at the COVID conversation and come back to this very table and tell me that we're wrong. Everything that we pointed out about this has clearly come to pass. Well, I maybe take issue with everything, but I, quite frankly, I'd be surprised. You go back and look, because we weren't making claims based on hypotheticals. We were breaking this stuff down like a lot of people were at this time. So what it's telling you, RNA modifications add another regulatory layer of complexity to most aspects of tumor growth. And overall, the dysregulation of the RNA modification, I mean, the dysregulation of your immune system, that's called lymphocytopenia, right? That's exactly what we're going to highlight next, which is the amazing work done by Swiss Policy Research around a lot of COVID stuff. Now, it doesn't look like they've updated this since 2021. A lot of these they've continued to update, but obviously the story has drifted in the background to a degree. But this was an amazing post they did with breaking down with peer-reviewed studies that you can look to for yourself. And the idea was that it will topic COVID vaccines and cancer. And the main point was that it has been shown in peer-reviewed science that up to 50% of those that took the COVID injections can induce a temporary immune suppression or immune dysregulation, otherwise known as lymphocytopenia, that may last about a week or possibly longer. In many cases, it's later, it's gone on to show that some of these can last for a very long time. But the point, even if it's a week, that what that does is creates the situation, the perfect storm, if you will, to create the explosion of that growth of the free radicals and the cancer and everything we've talked about. Simple. I mean, these are not hard to understand, even for the average person. Now, I'll include this point, we've talked about this in May 7th, 2023. New modified RNA, mod RNA, cancer jab will also destroy your immune system. And this is, guys, we went through this, we didn't just glean this over to the next conversation. We went through the new study. We went through the new cancer jab peer-reviewed science and the information they were putting out from their own trials. And guess what? It's all the same problems. And let's not even forget that the cancer direction was what they were trying to apply this to first. But it's still mod RNA, still N1 methyl pseudouridine. That's why I said that. It's the exact same problem. And I wrote, and it was how mod RNA was created. And so this is an important one for you to look into to understand the deep background of this. And then this one on top of it. But we also discussed this in 2022. Peer-reviewed study finds mRNA jab suppresses immune system, increases risk to other diseases and cancers. Right? We didn't just guess. A lot of us were on this conversation a long time ago. Now, lastly, this is from 2023. Potential health risks of mRNA-based vaccine therapy. Now, yes, it's a hypothesis. This is based on, I mean, you can look for yourself. You know, these people have credentials. and these the things they're referencing, it's linked in here like crazy, are mostly peer-reviewed studies, but science in general, that are showing you what they argue is the case. So consider this for yourself. And I think, quite frankly, the evidence is self-evident. Oh, yeah. So this is just the, where was it? The event. So right here, just this, the rest of it, I'll look to the screenshots for, I don't know why I'm saying this for the podcast, but let's continue. It says the same kind of point as always, you know, the opening statement. And it says, to date, there are no, here, let me highlight so you can see the parts I think are important. There are no published studies on the biodistribution, cellular uptake, endosomal escape, translation rates, functional half-life, and inactivation kinetics of synthetic mRNA. Rates and duration of vaccine-induced antigen expression in different cell types. How in the world is that possible? Now, even at February 2023, that you've given this the world around, you've forced people into multiple shots of this. Even at that time, we could prove that they weren't even at that much risk. This is less than the flu, if it even existed at all. And on top of that, that the shots themselves were gigantically more dangerous. The whole game of benefits outweigh the risks was a shocking deception. And my point is, even at 2023, they're telling you, well, we don't even know where it goes. At least that's what they claim. Well, the studies haven't been done. Well, yeah, but we already know, though, because Pfizer's own biodistribution studies from the trial showed you this went all over the body. We've covered this extensively. The lipid nanoparticle concentration. I don't know, I probably won't be able to pop up. Let's see. Oh, maybe that's it. No, it's not. But there's a Pfizer study that we have covered many times. Nah, I don't want to find it. It'll take too long. But, I mean, most everyone's aware of this. Pfizer's own documentation showed that it went to the spleen, the lymph nodes, which we just showed you, by the way, that it went to the lymph nodes. So clearly this is part of the problem. But how in the world in 2023 are they going to tell you we don't even know where it goes? Or at least they're claiming that. Or cellular uptake? There's no published studies on this in 2023. Endosomal escape, translation rates, half-life. Like, so we don't even know how long it stays there, but take it anyway, safe and effective. I mean, this is just comically bad. And I don't know why the average person ignores this stuff. I mean, I do. There's so many people out there that are just so terrified that acknowledging that they got their family to do the wrong thing or that they're hurt themselves. Or people are terrified or terrified to be wrong. I don't know. But the reality is specifically of synthetic mRNA, not just N1 methylpseudouridine modified RNA, but modified RNA in a general sense. Now it goes on to say, and then the other part I kind of rattled off at the last part was also the rates and duration of the vaccine induced antigen expression, meaning they just don't even know. And this is the point we played many times from, I might have deleted it from the clip where the FDA is openly saying that. No, it's right here. Here's a couple, there's two of them. And the point is that in the FDA meetings, they made it clear, like, we don't even know if this, you know, how this works. We don't even know if the protection we're seeing, or rather the production of antibodies, actually correlates with protection. It's, and we play this incessantly, and yet people still ignored it.
And then can you repeat the second question?
I mean, obviously you have a lot of data now. What is your correlative protection is? Everybody's measuring antibodies. They're probably relevant, but as we know...
That's a long question. We need a quick answer.
I would say there is no established correlate of protection.
Thank you. That was a quick answer. Dr. Fink.
Right. So we don't have a correlation of protection. We see antibodies, but we're not certain what that translates to in the context of protection. But we'll go ahead and slap a 90% effective on it because, you know, antibodies, that's what happened. That was Pfizer speaking to a doctor who's been in these many times asking good questions. And here's the other one, simply going, we don't even know how it works.
How should we think of micrograms in terms of the amount of spike protein that's produced by the cells? Can you kind of clarify that?
Obviously, we don't have a complete understanding of the nature of the way that the vaccine works in terms of producing immune response.
That's just so crazy to me. I mean, you could argue that not much has changed, by the way, but the reality that ever in a point where that was happening, that they were forcing this on children, but we don't even know how it works properly. It says, furthermore, despite the assumption that there is no possibility of genomic integration of therapeutic synthetic mRNA, which obviously is the N1 methyl pseudouridine modified RNA. Only one recent study has examined interactions between vaccine mRNA, meaning the mod RNA in this case, and the genome of transfected cells, and reported that an endogenous retrotransposon line 1 is unsilenced following mRNA entry to the cell, leading to the reverse transcription of full-length vaccine mRNA sequences and nuclear entry. That's exactly the opposite of what we're being told, and still to this day, by the way, from all of the Fauci types out there. This finding should be a major safety concern that everybody ignored, by the way, given the possibility of synthetic mRNA-driven epigenetic and genomic modifications arising. It says, we propose that in susceptible individuals, cytosolic clearance of nucleotide modified synthetic is impeded. Now, this is where we get into the point, the NMS mRNAs. That is the general concept for modified synthetic mRNAs. Right, so this, or rather nucleotide modified synthetic mRNAs, that's what it stands for. So what they're saying is, we propose that in susceptible individuals, which frankly I find to be everybody, that these are impeded, the clearance of them. So this is exactly what we're finding, that not only do you just reference, which we'll read more in a second, that this does clearly transcribe into your reverse transcribe in your DNA, but also that this is showing you, because of the modified N1 methyl pseudouridine modified RNA, it stays in your body. It doesn't clear, which then means if you've taken many of these, there's a compounding problem here. And what did we just show that it does? Cancer causing everything else. And these, by the way, are also things that are making proteins that are causing illness and causing symptoms and causing shedding. Like, this is almost unbelievable that, one, this hasn't been widely acknowledged, like, to this degree. But on top of that, that this is, the more you read into this, it's almost impossible not to feel like somebody was, I mean, this is a weapon that was used or got out or was being tested. I don't know, but this is, it seems like a weapon, which is not a new opinion. I mean, we were theorizing about that right in the beginning, but I still don't know definitively, but my God, it's made to last. It's made to continue to shed almost at the expense of the host, pretty much just like a virus, right? Or the concept of it. It says sustained presence of the nucleotide modified synthetic mRNAs, I'm just going to say modified RNAs going forward, in the cytoplasm deregulates and activates endogenous transposable elements, the TEs, causing some of the mRNA copies to be reverse transcribed. I mean, these are peer-reviewed studies. You can read these for yourself, which, by the way, doesn't guarantee they could be wrong. But why is it being ignored? There's not a challenging study that's going, here's why you're wrong. They just don't talk about it right now. The cytosolic accumulation, because it doesn't go away, of the modified mRNAs and the reverse transcribed cDNA molecules activates RNA and DNA sensory pathways. Their concurrent activation initiates a synchronized innate response against non-self nucleic acids, promoting type 1 interferon and pro-inflammatory cytokine production, which, if unregulated, which is what we're talking about, leads to auto-inflammatory and autoimmune conditions, just like we talked about. While activated, transposable elements increase the risk of insertional mutagenesis of the reverse transcribed molecules, which can disrupt coding regions, enhance the risk of mutations in tumor-suppressing genes, and lead to sustained DNA damage. My God! It's just outrageously obvious. Now, here's the crazy part, going back to what it said. If it can, their concurrent activation initiates a synchronized innate response against non-self nucleic acids, what do you think they're talking about? The things you're being told to produce. This is why people like Cole and Dr. Peter McCullough and plenty of others have come out and told you, or I mean, even going back to the very beginning of this, saying this is going to cause self-attack. It's going to cause, like Dr. James Lyons Weiler pointed out, PhD, it's going to cause pathogenic priming. It's going to cause antibody-dependent enhancement. And these are different things, but these are all similar concepts where your body is attacking itself. And what we're staring at is the obvious, at least in one part of this, example for why. That it's going to cause, and especially when you have a situation where it's accumulating and continuing to make more, the sustained synthesis was the word I'm looking for before, of the spike protein, or in this case, of the modified RNAs, it creates a situation where your body attacks what it sees as non-self nucleic acids, but that's what your body's producing now. Modified nucleotide, modified synthetic RNAs. I don't know you could design a more specific weapon, right? I mean, how could you accidentally do this? I find that really hard to believe. Now it says susceptible individuals, and again, leads to sustained DNA damage. What that even translates to, I'm not even sure. What does DNA damage look like? You know what I mean? Like, this is something I have to research more. But the idea being that this is clearly a long-term issue that I'm willing to bet you anything is hard to associate back to this. It says susceptible individuals would then expectedly have an increased risk of DNA damage, chronic auto-inflammation, autoimmunity, and cancer, all of which we've seen proven by peer-reviewed science connected to these injections. In light of the current mass administration of these modified RNA vaccines, it is essential, they finish in the abstract, and urgent to fully understand the intracellular cascades initiated by cellular uptake of synthetic mRNAs and the consequences of those molecular events. Gee, don't you think we should have done that before we gave it to billions of people? Just a thought. You know, but they screamed about how we needed it at a time when you could prove this was less than the flu, if it even existed at all. Which, on that note, in fact, I'll give you at least one of the great interviews I've had with Denny Rancor, who I should connect with again. He's really one of these people that have been, you know, unabashedly calling out the reality of this, or at a time when he, like all of us, were being attacked for it. But this is an important interview where he goes over the point that data proves that COVID-19 is actually an illusion. Now, you don't have to read that. It doesn't have to mean for you that it's not real. What it means, and it could mean that though, it means that if you break down the data, it's easily proven that you didn't need a new thing to make this happen. With the conflation of flu and pneumonia, which by the way has been used many times before, including in the flu conversation, or the idea of the PCR test and false positives, or any number of different things. And now going forward, calling vaccine side effects COVID-19. Like, the point was, you could clearly show that if they really wanted to, you could have just made this up using the byproducts of what you were doing. Again, that is just a theory. Doesn't mean it happened, but you can prove that they have lied about all these things, so it's hard not to see that. I do think that. I think this was a complete illusion. But going into this further, it goes on to say, one of the few published studies on this topic showed that RNA molecules, remember this is 2023, February, showed that RNA molecules with modified nucleotides, like the shots they're being given today, interrupt early signaling of the RIG1-like innate immune activation pathway. And RNA containing pseudouridine, like we're talking about, binds to RIG1 but fails to trigger the canonical RIG1 conformational changes associated with robust innate immune signaling. So it just shows you all these different ways this is not, and remind exactly what that RIG stood for again. Hold on, make sure I say that right. Was it, yeah, RG1? I don't know why it's not popping up. There it is. So let's see, RNA, and it was like receptors. Shoot, I don't want to waste any more time trying to find it, but it's not the most important part, but I always like to, oops, okay, never mind now. Hit the wrong button. Well, anyway, the point was, overall, the changes in regard to both the combination of the fact that this is not doing what it's supposed to do, but also on top of that, that it's causing other interruptions and manipulations of your body's processes, which is not supposed to be happening. Not in the sense of, you know, the very least you could argue that they're saying that this is a necessary downside because the benefits outweigh the risks. But we know that overall what we're dealing with is, if even they're not dangerous enough to justify any of this. But it goes on to say, there is evidence that binding of non-modified exogenous mRNA to host RLRs activates innate immune pathways that lead to an antiviral state in vaccine-transfected cells, reducing intracellular stability and translation rates of foreign mRNA. However, this does not appear to be the case for these modified RNAs of current vaccines, as it is now known that the modified nucleic acid can be detected within the germinal centers of the axillary lymph nodes of vaccines for at least 60 days after inoculation, and far more than that. So just again, highlighting the fact that this is not even doing what they claim it's doing. It says there is not yet a real understanding of the recognition of modified mRNAs contained in currently available mRNA vaccines. There is not a yet a real understanding of the recognition of these contain. How do you even reconcile these statements with the things that they're giving children? Makes me, this is terrifying what's really going on. It says it remains unclear how and for how long the modified mRNAs interact with intracellular RNA sensors. Just one more and more unknowns, which maybe are, maybe aren't. Either way, that you don't get to told how long this lasts or what they're actually engaging with or interacting with in your body. The fate of highly stabilized modified RNAs within the cytoplasm is essential to understand, but as yet remains unexplored and was not considered prior to the emergency use authorization and approval of the modified mRNA vaccines for human use. Similarly, the presence of truncated mRNAs and other contaminants within the vaccines that could further alter immune recognition and deregulate immune signaling pathways has not, to the best of the study author's knowledge, been examined. Yeah, big surprise. We talked about this with Jessica Rose, who I highly recommend, PhD, that you check out as well. It was called Blotgate when this was kind of, Jakey Leaks, I think, and others kind of called this out. The unknown risks of truncated spike proteins. And this was what this was proving, if you know what you're looking at here, these are the blot, Western blots, is that they lied. What they were showing you is perfectly formulated things that are in unison. And anybody honest was going, this is what they normally look like. There's no way. What they did was lie about what they were showing you, and it was hiding the fact that these were truncated proteins. Or, and this overlaps with the conversation of all the things we're talking about, the extra, the all the things we've covered. These things are not accidents in my mind. These were experiments. It's my opinion. Where were we here? I think it was this one. Yeah, truncated. And it says, and other contaminants. And they don't know. Like, do you realize this is a prominent conversation? It's openly discussed in 2023 in a peer-reviewed study, and yet nobody's even tried to look into this, at least that we're told. That's terrifying, which makes me more and more think that this was what it was supposed to do, or at the very least, they got what they wanted from it. It says, however, and I mean simply the manipulators out there, it doesn't have to mean some shadowy entity concept, which, you know, there's clearly exactly that going on. But when, the point is that it's very the medical establishment, the government's in charge, the World Economic Forum, like all these overlaps, clearly there's levels of people involved with this that were involved with the beginning of this that were to this day very aware of all these things. And none of them are speaking out about this. That should scare you. It says, however, considering the wide biodistribution of mRNA nanolipid vaccine compounds like Pfizer and Moderna, as well as the increased translational capacity and persistence of synthetic modified mRNA, it is not unreasonable to assume that mRNA-based vaccines could induce sustained inflammation, exactly like we're seeing, and a persistent antiviral cellular state in various tissues, which is the not what you want. These are causing the problems in the body that we all see, that we all know. It says, we have argued and presented evidence that vaccine mRNAs may cause a cascade of cellular and innate antiviral responses, eliciting upregulation of endogenous TEs as well as the activation of RNA and DNA sensors through conserved pathways that invoke IFN production, interferon production, thus promoting the expression of hundreds of interferon target genes that may sustain a chronic antiviral state. Now, that is autoimmunity within the vaccine transfected cells and neighboring cells, a chronic antiviral state. Now, this says, based on the observations by another study, Ivanova et al., and using reports of adverse events following vaccination from the VAERS database, which nobody should have ever dismissed, the idea that it was ever dismissed. An entire point of the VAERS database was it wasn't supposed to be provable. It's simply a signal system, which is what Dr. Rain from the UK said in 2006 about their yellow card system. It's the same thing. Both of them dismissed all these reports because it's something like well over, it's the vast majority of all reports of the entire system are now just on COVID-19 vaccines. There's no misunderstanding that. That's, and they act like it doesn't, they're not proven. Well, it was never supposed to be proven. The system has been used this way in the past where you had 50 signals of random unproven statements that pulled drugs in the past. Another of the many things that show you this is a dangerous coordinated effort. But it says, using those reports, Seneff et al. Argued that SARS-CoV-2 mRNA vaccination impairs type 1 interferon signaling and can affect the regulatory control of protein synthesis and on-co-surveillance, paving the way to an increased risk of neurodegeneration, immune thrombocytopenia, myocarditis, Bell's palsy, hepatic disease, the liver, suppression of adaptive immune responses, diminished DNA damage repair, and cancer. 2023, exactly what we're talking about. Every possible angle of this, the reality is right in your face. And it says at the end, so far, the basis of modified mRNA-induced immunogenicity is still not fully understood. But let's rush it into the arms of children, just in case. I mean, guys, it's just so overwhelmingly obvious. And part of me, by the way, one of the reasons why a lot of these things, there's a lot of stuff that's popped up or, you know, new developments that I just haven't really touched on. I mean, obviously, there's a lot more going on in the world, but I just feel like I've never seen a topic more completely thoroughly fleshed out. We all know this. The world is clear. I think at this point, people have recognized the reality or have dug their heels in and don't care what gets shown. They're never going to admit it. I feel like that's same with what we're seeing with the Israel conversation. It's this weird situation we're in. Now, maybe that's just my perception. I could definitely be wrong. But my God, it's clear. Or on top of that, that there's enough evidence out there that should you want to see it, it's all it takes is you choosing to look. There's no misunderstanding this stuff. You can't scream, trust the science, and then pretend like you're, or then just not look at all of the body of evidence, which is, by the way, the majority at this point. The vast majority of the body of evidence around COVID-19 injections is clearly slanted in dangerous, deadly, quite frankly. But here we are. And it's coming back to a degree, but I caution against leaning into everything they throw out there, right? I was saying this today on an interview. It's we've almost in a way started doing their job for them in some cases. Like, I get it. I'm the first one to be like, I'm worried. They go, oh, monkeypox this, or a new flu variant, bird flu over here. And then I keep an eye on every one of these things. But the idea that a lot of independent media, some of which just want to get clicks and see share like a lot of people do, but they'll jump at everything they point at. No, bird flu, and here's why. And some of them highlighting that it's fake, but others leaning into it and saying, this is why it's going to be the new weaponized thing. Well, in a way, even though you could be right, don't you realize that you're sort of doing their job for them? You're now the one promoting the next disease. Like, it's interesting how even with good intention, people have fallen into the trap, right? I'm not sure whether the COVID direction will even be what they take the next time because it got destroyed. We all shatter this conversation. I still very clearly see the medical, you know, medical terrorism that they're carrying out, the very clear, the vaccinations they're pushing. I mean, this is dangerous because of how much we see and what they're now seemingly accomplishing, regardless of the fact that we see it. My point is, it might just not take the same embodiment of what we're expecting. So just be on guard for that. Be worried about the new things, consider it, but don't promote everything they throw at you, right? Just be cautious about that because I think part of this is using, it's sort of like assuming that because the media says it, the opposite is true. Well, we know that's not always true. Like, we have to realize that maybe they just realized that we think that. And so now they tell you the truth in hopes that you say the opposite or some other abstract version of that. It's never as simple as that. So let's finish today with a couple of other points. Oh, wait, there was one more. Excuse me. There's one more at this article. Actually, I'm glad I didn't forget this because this is important. So it ended with the point that I'm going to highlight this study. Again, this is the study from 2023, potential health risks of mRNA-based vaccine therapy. It says, if this is so, everything we talked about so far, then, obviously, the one-size-fits-all approach of mass vaccination using specifically modified nucleoside-modified synthetic mRNA technology would not be a safe public health measure for humanity. But yeah, you don't say. Now, frankly, I'm surprised they even said that because that's usually what gets these study authors and get just shunned from the mainstream corrupted society. But that's important. Now, I also worry that that may be just sort of a segue into going, but we'll make it specific to you now, and that's the solution. So I'm always worried about the problem reaction solution part of it too. But nonetheless, this is true. Even if the truth is being used to trick you, it's still true. So make sure we acknowledge it as such. It says, if our hypothesis were to be confirmed, which I think it is, even based on what they've shown you, I think that is, but it says the implications for public health would be staggering. Yes, indeed. And appalling in the context of the mass scale COVID-19 vaccination already taking place, particularly if the nucleoside modified synthetic mRNA enters brain, which we know that it is, bone marrow, and if already present in the vaccine or in the vaccinees or the one that took the vaccine, cancerous or precancerous cells, or if the vaccine is administered to females early in their pregnancy and the nucleoside modified synthetic mRNA transfects embryonic cells, which we know that it does. That is just powerful, guys. And they're highlighting this for you. They know. If this is confirmed, well, that's what they just did with this study, in my opinion. But even then, it's very clear that the evidence is there. And they're telling you everything we've been saying. It's that right now it's staggering. The implications of just this staggering. And this is only one part. And it gets even more concerning if it enters the brain, which we've already proven, the bone marrow, which you can see, the vaccine, the cancer side of it, the female reproductive issue. I mean, it's worth playing really quickly the clip that we've showed before, that even just the first part of Dr. Pilevsky's testimony in 2020, right before this all spun out of control, or really after it long had been doing that, but people became aware of it, showing you that what they have in these things are designed to enter the brain, or rather that's, you know, what I take from this.
I heard earlier that there's no real concern about aluminum because it's such a small amount, and so it really shouldn't matter. But the kind of aluminum that we put into vaccines is a different kind of aluminum that we see environmentally. This is called a nanoparticle, and nanoparticles bind really tightly to the bacteria antigens, the virus antigens, the food protein antigens, and any other contaminants that are in the vaccines that we may not know about. And we know that the biochemical properties of nanoparticles is that they are capable of entering the brain. And so we have not evaluated the safety of the aluminum nanoparticle and its injection and where it goes when it gets into the body and whether it gets into the brain. Do vaccine ingredients belong in the brain? No. Do they get into the brain? No one has ever studied it. But animal studies using the same chemicals that are in vaccines that we give to children directly demonstrate that the vaccine ingredients do enter the brain. We are ignoring this information. There are scientists in Europe who've actually done studies on the aluminum nanoparticle and have shown that it can persist in the brain for years and decades. And so what we're seeing is a large outbreak of neurodevelopmental disabilities in adults, including Alzheimer's. And one of the main factors that they're finding in the brains of people with Alzheimer's is the aluminum nanoparticle that's directly related to the vaccines that we're giving. So we have never studied whether the aluminum that we're giving in vaccines gets into the brain, and we've never measured whether it stays in the brain and what it does if it does stay in the brain. But we do know that vaccines are supposed to cause inflammation in the body. But we have more than half of our children with chronic inflamed conditions. And we've never allowed ourselves to ask the question, if the vaccines cause inflammation acutely, do they continue to create inflammation chronically? We have 1 in 5 with neurodevelopmental disabilities, 1 in 10 with ADD and ADHD, 1 in 35 with autism, 1 in 11 with asthma, and 1 in 20 under the age of 5 with seizures.
So obviously the main point is putting aside the focus on the aluminum, and it's the nanoparticle that I think is important, because he made a clear point in there to say that the nanoparticles, in general sense, bind very tightly with what we're talking about here. So I think what's important to realize is the overlap to all of this and the experimentation that's been going on long, much longer than we want to, than we're comfortable with at all, if at all, is that he's telling you that the idea that this stuff does find its way there, the highlighting, the coming off the point we're just highlighting, is the idea that this is, you know, it's the most concerning if it enters the brain. And everything else we've shown you, it's very clear that this, I mean, again, going back to the point, ask why they were testing the blood-brain barrier in the early aspects of this to see. I don't know. But ultimately, guys, I think it's very clear that these are dangerous. And the concern for me, and this is from May 20, 2023, we did this show, the deadly lipid nanoparticle spike protein design. So in a general sense, the fact that the spike protein lipid nanoparticle design is a weapon. I'm not saying that as I can prove that it's made that way, but it's hard not to see that you would ever use something like this to help people. when everything you can find about it's like, well, this is damaging. This causes this. There's blood clots. There's my heart problems. There's everything. Kind of hard. And the new mod RNA ferret nanoparticle universal flu injection. Now, for the average person, like, that sounds crazy. It's a current, I mean, when I it was currently being produced while I was covering this in 2023. Like, I'm concerned about whether that gets rolled in without your knowledge, quite frankly. But this is a real current NIH product of ferritin nanoparticle universal flu injection using the same N1-methylpseudouridine modified RNA, but also using ferritin nanoparticles, which is why I use this image where they've discussed this many times. And I'll even just include this one for those that are going to immediately dismiss anything even remotely on this topic, where you can see the Rockefeller University discussing using ferritin nanoparticles to literally control the motion of mice using outside influence, because ferritin nanoparticles have little iron particles that allow them to be manipulated using certain processes. So it's not my opinion. This is a provable study where they use this stuff with outside manipulation to control the way they thought, they felt, and they even moved. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen here, but I think it's alarming as hell that we're just sprinting in the direction of whatever's happening next, still using the same platform, the same dangerous overlaps, the same modified RNA that we apparently haven't even studied, at least as we're told. On top of that, this is a show where I went deep into this mod RNA lie. So I hope you can, if you want to check that out yourself, this is the episode right here where we went into that more in depth. It's entitled CDC Ignores 75 Autopsies Linking Death to the COVID Jab, Mod RNA Lie on the Anti-Disinformation Industry. Now, we also make sure to point out that the platform, not just the focal individual injection, but this peer-reviewed study found that the actual platform itself is driving myocarditis. They're just very clear that every single angle of this is dangerous. But hey, don't worry about any of that, because Dr. Fauci just got a Stern Medal. This is what Dr. Michael Merton says. Your commitment, get this, to evidence-based decision-making and speaking truth to power had an impact far beyond U.S., which I'm sure in their minds, the only thing they're thinking about is he spoke out against Trump, and we know Trump bad, and Trump bad guy, so let's make sure. People are so deranged when it comes to the two-party politics, it's hilarious. Evidence-based decision-making? Like, how about the fact that his entire study that he produced in, where was it again? January of 2023 highlights that he was wrong. Now, you could argue that still means, but my point was, you can prove that we were highlighting the science that showed he was wrong in 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, and we're still doing it today. So was he using evidence-based decision-making, or was he using self-serving decision-making, or whatever else you want to highlight? It's just embarrassing after all of this. And quite frankly, if you want my honest opinion, I get a sense that he's like, this is not going to turn out well. Like, that he kind of felt like he drifted into the background, and now you're giving him awards for making the right decisions, and he's probably right there going, damn it. Like, this is not good. People are going to drudge back up all the crimes that I committed. I think it's obvious that people are aware to some degree. Maybe just my personal opinion. But either way, that's ridiculous. Now, I'm just going to include this. I was going to play this, but I'm going to just cut to the chase here and finish right now with the clip we're going to play. But I want to include this because this is a really alarming clip showing the military what they did, where this guy was put in a cell, basically, and they rush in and force vaccinate him, which is, by the way, what happened in a lot of different cases. This is real. This is what actually happened in many cases in Germany and places around the world in nursing homes. We showed you this stuff, but of course they lied about it. They lied about all of it, forcing this guy to get an injection that was never approved, even though they lied about that too. I don't even know if this is at a time before that even. Either way, it's a crime. Even the military was called out, and there was even lawsuits about this. And yet, because he didn't want the thing, they didn't give him an option. They just forced him to take it, which we'll play an ending clip today. Again, we used to play a lot, which highlights another individual. Sadly, it was a black gentleman that was in a hospital situation where he was then forced to take it. And it's just sad. You know, it's this big guy, and he just breaks down. Like, it's like, I get it. You know, like the vulnerability. The lack of your own choices, that they're forcing this thing that he's right at the time, knew was bad. And yet, for all we know, the guy died already. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where we are. And it's just, this is what they did. Makes me sick. Now we're going to end with ultimately shouting out Josh Walkos here for his overview of the, I recommend you check this out. It's not a very long thread. He uses some really long and important threads. This one's just highlighting an important topic. While we have been worrying about the WHO pandemic treaty, and rightly we should, and the threats to liberty it poses, the United States government has a plan to seize control of the global health security agenda. Now, you may see it differently, but I tend to agree with the perception here of what this, if you read this for yourself, what this is highlighting. He says $30 billion for a worldwide plan, coming from the United States, by the way, not some larger point, but their own version of this. Why that's happening simultaneously? Think about that. $30 billion, while they're giving billions to Israel, and while they can't, you know, while people are... Think about the lack of help for people in this country while this stuff is going abroad everywhere. It says, for a plan with cross-coordination between 70 governments with U.S. agencies like the HHS and USAID taking the lead. Right, the HHS and USAID, you know, the groups that have lied to you about every possible dynamic of all of this, or USAID that is involved with regime change and absolutely lying to you about... I mean, how gross. Am I the only one that... I don't think they recognize how much people see through this today. Or maybe I'm wrong entirely, but I don't think so. I think we see through this. But it says, so even if the WHO treaty fails, which is maybe what this is meant to be, sort of a catch, a net in case that goes through, it doesn't mean the power grab goes away. He says, read this 64-page report and tell me, tell me I'm wrong. The U.S. government, global health security strategy. Why is the U.S. government speaking about global anything, by the way? Because they clearly see themselves as a global player in the sense of like control of world police. We all know that, as much as they give lip service to the opposite. Even Trump came out and said, I will not be the policeman of the world, and then literally played that role worse than anybody. And you can include this for you to check out for yourself. Now we're going to end with this clip. I'll include this link to it we put out on the website, which I made this clip myself early. This was, I believe, 2020, May 11th, I put this out. And I still stand by everything in this. This was Dr. Barkey, who was speaking out about how we see through this. And by the way, everything he said came to pass. And that all of us were saying that we knew this was going to happen. We saw where this was going. And that's not that we knew every dynamic of this. We didn't know all the information we now know. But what we knew is the problem will be worse than the solution will be worse than the problem. Right. Even though Trump promised the opposite, as usual, because he was seeing ahead and came out and said, no, the solution. Well, he was trying to tap into what we are already saying. And guess what? His solution was worse than the problem. And it was the government solution. It wasn't just Trump. Biden's doing the same thing. But we knew it. We knew they would use this to circumvent the Constitution. We knew they would take things away from you. We knew that these things were not the answers in 2020. Here we are. So thinking about this going forward, guys, recognize that there were platforms out there and still are on your side, even as they were, whether it's because of Israel and Gaza now or whatever new topic we're discussing, are yet again being censored and attacked and suppressed. And you may be out there on the fence going, I don't know, this topic seems crazy. I don't know. I mean, I've always thought that, you know, it's anti-Semitic to say that about Zionism, you know, whatever it is. Recognize that people out there, myself included, TLAB included, or other, many other independent media groups are doing what they believe is right and highlighting contentious truths that at the very least you should stand back and consider, because of the track record of many of us that powered through some of the most wild censorship. And by the way, TLAB is still going through it, because I don't think we're ever going to stop getting that treatment, because I think what we do is important in a way that many don't do. And it's not trying to praise myself, and it is in a way, but it's because anybody out there, in my opinion, that is nonpartisan and objective is a danger to the two-party system. And there's a lot of us out there, guys, a lot more than they want you to realize. We don't care about the two-party dynamics. I've got personal opinions on all sides of this. I mean, just making it a very obvious example, it's not even worth getting into. The point is that it's obvious that I've got personal opinions that are scattered all over the ridiculous labeling political spectrum. Why? Because I don't let political party talking points or labels guide what I think. I simply go, on this topic, I feel this way. And you may go, well, that's a lefty opinion. Okay, fine. Over here, I think that's a right wing. No, it's just my opinion, guys. That's what it used to be, where you just expressed your opinion based on logic and the way that you feel about it. So how about we bring that back? How about bring back the idea of just being honest and disregarding the forced labels that we get trapped into so we feel like we have to align with a certain tribal party? In any case, all of this is important, guys. We'll continue to break this down for you. And I was going to end with the point in general, guys, that basically I'm going to be helping my family with some stuff that's going to be taking a lot. It's going to take some, probably a couple of days. And I'm going to plan on trying to work around this, but I wanted to highlight There's a reason that I have been doing my best to get as much out, but I did interviews over the last couple of days and haven't got to so many shows. I'm just trying to juggle a lot right now. It's very temporary, nothing serious or anything. It's just stuff that I have to help the family with. And over the next probably 3 days is going to be the kind of peak of this for me. I'm going to put out, and I had a great, great interview with Adam Green today, which I guarantee is going to be very contentious. And plenty of which, as I said before, that we have a really great conversation about it. And I respect the fact that we can have this conversation without it being contentious because we disagree on some things. And I'll clearly say that he's been researching these topics way longer than I have. But nonetheless, I feel pretty confident about some of the ways I view these things. But in any case, it's important that these conversations are had, that we challenge these ideas, that we're willing to consider. Like even one of the things he gets into is like that he sees this as related to not just Judaism, but more so all the Abrahamic religions, which as a Christian, you could argue I could take offense to that. But it's not like he's aiming it at me. So the point was, let's discuss this. Let's be objective and ask whether there's merit to what he's saying, even as a Christian. But some people would argue that's blasphemous. No, it's just being objective. It's important that we decouple your, you know, that's why I think the people that fold in their religion with their journalism, it's I can't take you seriously because that's a faith-based belief in a conversation based on provable facts and evidence. There's going to come a time if you do that where those things don't really work together, where you're going to be guided by what we're seeing today, where any number of aspects. I don't want to call anybody out. The point is all these different dynamics of the back and forth about, you know, Christ is King was the point I was going to get to. We talk about it in the episode where all of a sudden you've got this back and forth where it's like, this is the right thing. And then you got the Daily Wire side, this is the right thing. And my point is that, well, clearly if you're ignoring one whole side of the conversation, even if you believe that they have a different religious belief, well, you're then clearly boxing out information. I just find that to be the wrong way forward. In any case, I didn't want to get into all at the end. My point was simply saying that the interview I had with Adam is an interesting and important interview that I think is going to be contentious, but also very important to understand the different perspectives and even challenging some of my own. My point is that's going to come out tomorrow, and I'm going to do my best to get to a show over those next couple of days, but it might not happen. Don't worry. It's just to be stuff that I have to get done. We'll be right back to it soon. And last couple points in general, if you'd like to support us, the Substack, we put out recent work. A new one's going to be coming out from Taylor probably tomorrow. But we need your support, as always, guys, because we're being attacked. Even when our current recurring donation campaign, it seems like banks, I think, are denying these recurring donations. It's going to keep getting worse. So we need your support. If you believe in what we're doing, help us out. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
What if the experts are wrong? What if quarantining the healthy doesn't actually save lives? What if wearing a mask in public is not effective?
If you do not have a mask, you cannot ride public transportation, sir.
My name is Dr. Jeff Barkey, and I'm here representing thousands of physicians across the country whose voices are being silenced because we don't agree with the mainstream media and the experts who are telling us what to do.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
Never in the history of this great republic have we quarantined the healthy. Never in the history of this great republic have we told churchgoers that it's illegal for you to exercise your First Amendment right to freedom of religion. Never in the history of this country have we been told that you can't go to church because it's not essential, but you can go get an abortion because that's essential. Never before in our country have we let criminals out of jail, but we've told you you can't exercise your Second Amendment right and protect yourself by purchasing a firearm. when liquor stores are deemed essential, but your businesses are deemed non-essential, there's something wrong going on.
We cut off people's utilities this week and made them pay what could have been their last check to us to turn their lights on in a global health pandemic. But you don't care about that. You didn't want to meet.
This booklet, the Declaration of Independence and our U.S. Constitution, was never designed to restrain the people. It was designed to restrain the government. We're realizing that the fatality rate of this virus is in the ballpark of a bad seasonal influenza. Do not let your voices be silenced. We will see eventually that this government-imposed cure is going to be worse than the virus itself.
You're choking me, bro. Stop. Help! Help, man! This shit ain't right, bro.
But what's happening now as unemployment reaches 20 to 30 million people is those folks are now becoming dependent on the government. And what government dependency causes is a larger, more tyrannical government.
Look, he ain't even do nothing.
We the people want to put our government back in its place. We want a small representative government, not a large tyrannical government. I'm here representing thousands of physicians around the country whose voices must be heard.
We've never seen where we quarantine the healthy, where you take those without disease and without symptoms and lock them in your home.
So you guys are asking me to leave the store for not wearing a mask when I have a medical condition, even though yours is pulled under your nose.
There's a note that says,
I don't have to bring a note, and yours isn't even on.
Just do whatever you want to do.
It's America, right?
Listen. Get out.
I cannot wear a mask.
Get out.
Do not let your voices be silenced.